And good evening. Welcome to the AIPT podcast, Adventures in Pod Tasting. As you can tell, this is not Jason. My muy que ante co-host is in Mexico, so he has no idea that we are... Well, he knows we're doing the show, but he, from what I understand, knows nothing about Infinity War. He's completely dodging it, so hopefully nothing's been spoiled for him. And let's see, tonight we are going to be discussing the Infinity War movie. I am joined by a fabulous cast of guys tonight. I am joined by contributor Robert Reed.
Hey.
And, you know, Nate can't be gone from the show too long, and he's back tonight.
I'm one of the 50% that made it. I'm here.
And then I think the three of us liked it. The one that has the polar opposite opinion of us in general is our science Adler. Can you speak? Our science editor, Dog. Dog, how you doing tonight?
I've been better, Dave.
You've been better? The Infinity War movie has completely fucked up your week?
I was looking forward to enjoying it. I really wanted to enjoy it. I expected to enjoy it. And yet, you guys go for a second. I don't want to bring the mood down too much yet.
All right, so for our listeners out there, here's how tonight's show is going to work. We're going to try and give general impressions at first. We liked what we didn't like. We're really, really, really going to try to avoid spoilers. But you never know with us. Someone gets fired up and throws something out. So listen at your own risk, but we really are going to try to give you a heads up when we get into spoilers so you can listen to a little bit of the show and, you know, just get our opinions before you get a chance to go see it yourself if you haven't seen it yet, obviously. So there's your warning. I will throw out another, you know, hey, we're doing spoilers. Go ahead and cut it off and listen to the show later on. So, all right, initial impressions. What did you all think?
I thought it was great. I liked it a lot. Well, I guess we'll go by character. I thought Doctor Strange was very much rehabbed because in his solo movie, they showed him as very powerful, but the villains weren't all that great. So, I mean, how powerful was he, right? But in Avengers, I thought he was a natural leader. I thought he was funny. Thought he was take charge. I think he may have the key to how they're going to defeat Thanos. Was good. I like the movie. Overall, I like the movie.
Robert, what'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I have mixed feelings about some of it, but Doctor Strange was a standout for me because I normally do not like him as a character. And so I came out of his solo. His solo is one of the lower films for me. I don't really like him that much, but I like him in the group setting because he kind of gets to still be an asshole and then bounce off of everybody that kind of balances him out. But there were some things that I didn't like, and I'll get into that in our spoiler section. But Thanos was also a really good positive for me. I really liked the performance Brolin brought to it, which matters a lot considering how much he actually is the focus of the movie.
Right. And Dog, we'll go ahead and get your opinion before I throw out my two cents here.
You know what? I actually will agree about Doctor Strange. Although I thought he was fine in his own movie, I agreed that this really was a coming out for him, which is probably appropriate since he'll be one of the ones who sticks around for years to come, you have to think. But overall impressions of the movie, I said this in the article I wrote called Avengers Infinity War is Terrible. Go look it up on AIPTcomics.com. It felt very chopped up and chopped together to me. It was like if you strung a bunch of music videos together and called it a movie. I thought the pacing was non-existent. It was scene to scene to scene. And like Rob said, I'm sure I'll have more to say later, but I'll just stick with that for now.
All right, and as for me, I enjoyed this film a lot more than what I thought I would. I do want to go see it again just because I think by the end credits, I was more in shock than anything else. I really didn't have many more emotions other than shock, because it was a lot. For me, it was a lot heavier than what I thought they would do. I thought they would sugarcoat some of it and, like, bring more chaos in part two, but that's not the way that it went. Now, I will agree with you guys that this film made me like two characters more than I thought I would, and one being Doctor Strange, like you guys said. I really dug his character in this. And the second one was Thor. And maybe it was because he was hanging out with Rocket, but I enjoyed Thor a lot more than I have in previous films. In fact, I'm going to make sure to make the effort to watch Ragnarok this week, because I haven't had a chance to see that yet. So everyone said that I liked him this much in Infinity War, that I'm going to really love Ragnarok. So
yeah, that's going to be the case.
I agree with that. And you know what? That's actually, let me just give you my positive impressions of the movie now, because I think that was my favorite scene, actually, was when Thor met the Guardians. It was very much, you could imagine that being pulled from a Guardians movie. Everybody had the great comedic timing. And of course, you have to give it up for the editors on that. They were, they worked just as hard on that as the actual actors. So yeah, Thor was great, especially in that ensemble. And to agree with Rob, Brolin, how could you have a better Thanos than Josh Brolin? I was skeptical at first, but man, he really pulled it off. He was pretty emotionless most of the time, but then when he did have that flicker, it really sold. And, it really sold Thanos as the guy who's trying to keep it together, who's trying to be stern and do what he thinks needs to be done. But obviously, still there's that emotional core to him.
That's funny that you say that, because Brolin was great, and he did make Thanos was really, he did a good job with him. But one of the things I did not like about the movie was, and spoiler alert, as I don't think they got over how much Thanos loves Gamora at all.
It kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I thought that was very poorly done. The character was really good. Brolin was one of the highlights of the film, like you guys have said, but that actual moment was very, very poorly done.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and throw out the spoiler warning now. I think we've gone about only 7 minutes, but Nate is making me want to ask questions. So if you have not seen the movie, you're only one of four people according to the box office numbers this weekend. So you need to go ahead and get on that so you can come back and listen to the show. So, yep, turn it off now, because I now
you still have your click. It's fine.
Yeah. So, the rest of you that have seen the film, enjoy the rest of the show. So, Nate, what part didn't you like with Gamora?
When Thanos had to sacrifice her to get the soul stone?
Right.
I didn't think that they got over that he loved her. Like, I didn't see it as a sacrifice. I kind of agreed with Gamora, like, yeah, he doesn't love anyone. And then when he turns and cries and you knew what direction they were going in, all I could think was, why? Like, it doesn't work when they first met, because a lot of people, he literally had met her 10 seconds before he hides her from, or covers her from seeing the killing. So after that, he calls her little one. I think he refers to his daughter once or twice, but that doesn't show a deep enough love to warrant a sacrifice for one of the most powerful things in the universe.
I think the issue is that we see exactly two meetings between Gamora and Thanos when she's a child. And at that moment in time, it's like, when was the last time they even saw each other? Gamora has been trying to kill Thanos, but we don't know for how long. We don't know how long they've been estranged, so to speak. So yeah, I think that's the problem. It's like there's that big gap in between where you were like, really? He still loves her? When was the last time he even saw her or cared about her or did anything?
But see, she told Quill, kill me before he takes me. It's like she almost knew the end game that he had in mind for.
Oh, she absolutely knew.
So, and it's funny because that whole scene was going on and I'm like, please let Nebula show up. Please let Nebula show up. Throw her ass over the side. But she never did show up. So,
In terms of the last time they saw each other, I think the first Guardians movie implies that they've seen each other rather recently.
Yeah.
Because Nebula or Gamora is on loan to Ronan by Thanos.
Yeah.
So I think she probably hates him. She certainly hates him by that point. But I think they're still working together, so to speak, at that
point. Yeah, I think you're right. That flashed across my memory briefly. But yeah, I think you're right.
So I was back. Go ahead, Nate.
Oh, I was going to say, I was a little worried because Gamora says this isn't love. And it crossed my mind afterwards that I was hoping that Thanos didn't pretend to love her to get the stone, because then, well, there's a time reversing gem anyway, so she can come back to life. But then it also leads to, did he trick this stone for this fake sacrifice? And I think I was thinking too deeply about it, but the whole thing, yeah. it didn't go over very well to me.
But keeping on track with Thanos, I thought they did his story well, outside of y'all's thoughts on the whole Gamora death and the way he acted through a lot of it. And even, you know, Mantis said he's feeling anguish and torment and whatever. I thought they did a pretty good job humanizing Thanos.
Yeah, excellent job. I think, yeah, that's a great moment. And the final scene, actually, it's a really good moment of him just being a person who's very accomplished in what they've done, but still feeling a little remorseful almost.
Dog, what do you think? Good job? No job? Bad job?
This might seem nitpicky, but to me it isn't. This is actually the motivation of Thanos. And this is, you know, after seeing the movie, it's actually the least of my gripes with the film. So you don't even know what's coming yet.
Well, I know, but I mean, this is our first time seeing Thanos on screen more than 2 minutes.
Yes, I mean,
they did a really good job portraying him. Like Nate Nerwin said, Brolin shocked me. He did pretty good as Thanos.
But here's the thing about the motivation. I don't know why they changed the motivation from courting death. I don't know how that's sillier than what we ended up with. On the face of it, it might seem fine. He's trying to do a good thing. He's trying to balance the universe. But again, this was something else I wrote. Is Thanos an idiot in Avengers Infinity War? Go look it up. Thanos is supposed to be a scientist. He should know that there are much better ways of population control than whatever the stupid friggin' thing he's come up with. There's even sterilization is better than this, but there's wildlife management. There's whole friggin' sciences. You can get a degree in wildlife management on how to figure these things out and manage populations reasonably. This is not reasonable, and that doesn't make him mad. It doesn't make him the mad Titan in this movie. It makes him the stupid goddamn moronic Titan.
But think about it. He did all this.
He's a Titan who's never opened a book in his life.
But he did all this with a snap of the fingers. If there's
he could have done any of that. Right? He could have done any of those things. He could have. He says people don't have enough resources. He could have snapped his finger and put wind farms on every fucking planet. Boom.
So Dog brings up a point that I actually also had with the movie, which is that the one failing that I do think Thanos had in terms of his development as a character is we don't know him psychologically well enough to understand why he doesn't do what Doc is suggesting. So like with Black Panther, with Killmonger, you have almost the same thing where you could, like, Killmonger could, instead of sending weapons, send armor, send medicine, send, a freaking passport so that people could come to Wakanda. But you understand why psychologically, all right, this guy's damaged and he's trying to basically get back at everybody.
Right.
And with Thanos, we don't have that. Not that it isn't – like, I'd be very curious to see what they deleted out of – or what they cut out of the movie with Thanos, because I feel like we probably would have gotten more of that. But I don't know, and so we get deleted scenes.
I think they did say they had more on Titan, like before Titan was destroyed.
Gotcha.
Like what I – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say seeing that would have been much better than just the like one or two lines he gives in the movie. So,
and I was going to say that I read Infinity Gauntlet about a year ago most recently. And what I remember getting out of it is that Thanos is a very insecure person. And as I think they did a good job of him in the movie, but you don't get that insecurity across in the movie. Whereas in Infinity Gauntlet, that seemed like his biggest weakness.
Yeah, he doesn't think he subconsciously he didn't think he deserved the godhood. And that's why he, again, subconsciously let the good guys win without, you know, really letting them win. But yeah, I mean, I've seen people say like, well, he's just stubborn because, you know, the Titans said, Titans didn't listen to his plan and everything went wrong. So he's determined to prove them wrong and pull off his stupid, ridiculous plan. And, you know, that's fine, but that's headcanon, you know, like Rob said. I'm not sure you get that from the screen.
Right, and I haven't read Infinity War since I was 13. And actually on Comixology, they have a sale going on, I think, until next week where you can pick up all of it for $3.99. So I have picked that up this evening, so I'm going to start reading it again this week. But I really wish I did read it again before I went to the theater. But I'm going back to when I mentioned the characters that I really liked. I didn't realize how much I liked Iron Man until Thanos rammed that knife through his chest. And it hit me for 1 second. I was like, damn, am I really going to see Iron Man die on screen right now, you know? And that was one of the heroes that got it that bothered me, that I didn't foresee that coming. What did you all think of that whole scene when they were trying to get the gauntlet off of Thanos?
That was actually one of my problems with the movie, too. Maybe you guys have convinced me. Maybe I didn't like it.
Yes!
No, I'm going to say Nate came on. Oh, I liked it. Oh, wait. I don't like that scene.
I am the destroyer of joy. I don't even need a glove.
I had three major problems with the movie. Three problems, two of the major, one of the minor. The Gamora thing, her finding the map and burning it so no one else can see it, I was thinking to myself, like, well, why'd you read the map to begin with? Then there would be no problem. Yeah. But then I thought maybe she didn't know what was in the map, so, you know, I had to explain it myself, which is kind of shitty, but whatever. But what I didn't like is that their plan was fine, that they each had an appendage, that they didn't want him to clench his fist. All of that was great, but I didn't like that they literally pulled the gauntlet off of his hand, because the whole movie shows how powerful he is. I mean, the opening scene, he has one stone at that time, and he destroys he kills the Thor franchise. So for Iron Man and Spider-Man to actually get the gauntlet off of him, I didn't like that at all. Because I don't like
Mantis was in his head. Mantis was in his head at that point.
But right. I just don't like that everything was cool, but that it was actually removed, even for that brief second, that they actually got it off of him bothered me.
Well, that was like the substitute for the Silver Surfer moment for the people who have read Infinity Gauntlet, where they come this close, but not quite. You kind of have to have that.
Right. And I didn't like the whole, I mean, I get it. It was Star-Lord's emotions that made him punch Thanos in the face.
Oh, God almighty. I was so angry. I was like, I was sitting there saying, don't you dare hit him, Peter. I swear to fucking God, I'll come through the screen.
It was a whole movie about sacrifice and giving up what you love the most for the universe. And this one jerk decides to, he's not going to do what's best for the universe. And even Thanos, he gives up what he loves the most to fulfill his plan. But Star-Lord that whole part just bothered me.
Right.
Well, I've never thought of Peter as a particularly smart individual. Like, I mean, he just movie Peter, I guess. The comic books, you know, he's a bit more mature. But I also, with that scene, I do think it, like, one of my favorite parts about that scene actually comes before it, because I'm one of those guys that when logic fails in a movie, it really bothers me. And I appreciated the Russos having Doctor Strange look at 14 million futures, and the only one that he saw where they won was where Peter acts like an idiot. and they didn't use the time stone or the anything else in their arsenal. Like, that's the one he saw. And I was just like, okay, thank you for writing yourselves out of that one, because I was going to throw a fit.
But me being a Guardians fan, that part did bother me. I mean, I get he's emotional over Gamora and everything, but you see what's going on, you have to think logically, like you said, for the greater good. You know, they're handling the situation. You're not going to do anything but fuck up if you attack them, and that's what happened, you know.
Right, and he's upset. I understand he's upset. Of course he's upset. Right. No, anyone would be upset. But at the same time, it was almost like virtue signaling to me. It was like, hey, guys, look how upset I am. I'm going to hit this guy in the face. No. I know you're upset. You can tell us later. It's fine.
Right.
And one of the things I'm going to go back on was I do disagree with Dog. Is you mentioned you didn't like the pacing. I thought the pacing worked well, considering you have every single Marvel character pretty much, except what we can get, Ant-Man, Hawkeye, but I think each character had a decent amount of screen time.
Oh, I'm not saying they didn't.
Flow of the story was good. I thought for them jamming all these characters into one film for 2.5 hours, it ran seamless. I thought it was all pretty fast-paced. It was really no law in the story, and each character pulled their own, I thought. I mean, we talked about this before the show, that, you know, Warner Brothers, surprised we didn't see an article today saying they'd burn their fucking studios to the ground. I mean, they can't manage two characters, let alone everything that the Russo brothers and Marvel pulled off.
And to Dog's point, I did have a coworker who saw Avengers over the weekend, and she said the same thing. She said it was jumbled and she couldn't follow it. She thought it was a mess. That being said, she's like 69 years old, but yeah, still.
Well, I mean,
she does agree.
I mean, for better or worse, if you hadn't seen the other movies, you weren't going to understand this. And I'm not sure how much that counts against it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Dave, you're right. That's just like showing someone The Force Awakens for the first time, and they're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Yeah, you got like 40 years to catch up on here.
And Dave, you're right that I don't know how they could have done it better. That doesn't mean it was done well. and you're right, everybody got screen time. That's fine. But like I said, it just felt like you had a little scene start, and then it reached this mini climax, and then stopped, and then another little scene, a little mini climax. It was like a bunch of shorts crammed together and not a cohesive narrative until maybe the end.
So it was like a comic book, part of an arc.
Not at all. Not at all.
I think part of the issue with the pacing of the film, and I'll have to see it again because I've only watched it once, and most of my emotion was just shock because they did some things that I didn't think they were going to do. But I think part of the issue with the pacing is that they almost tried to have it both ways, in terms of Thanos is the protagonist of the film, but he's also the villain. So we're following him. He's the one who has the goal that he's trying to accomplish. Everyone else is just kind of trying to stop him. But he's also the bad guy, so we have to spend time with the heroes. And so I think the film tried to – there are lots of scenes where we're seeing it from Thanos's point of view, and then that we have scenes where it's from the hero's point of view. And I think that probably messes with what gets focus in the story and what doesn't. Like the whole journey with Thor, which I enjoyed, where he tries to go build Stormbreaker, is not necessary to Thanos's story. It's just Thor goes to build a weapon and he has a character arc, but it's not, I don't know. I thought that whole section was enjoyable, and I really liked the Thor Rocket interaction there, but I'd have cut it.
You know what's weird?
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because you guys know how big of a Rocket fan I am. So when I saw, well, I read beforehand that I knew going into the film that Rocket and Thor was going to team up for pretty much all the movie, and I didn't know how it really felt like that, because like I said, I wasn't a real big Thor fan. Like I said, this film made me like him a lot more. But I thought the interactions between him and Rocket were pretty good. They were genuine. And even Rocket's character, I noticed, continues to mature over the films. You know, the first Guardians, he's just a complete asshole. He sort of learned something at the end, but then the second one, you know, he loses Yondu, and he starts to realize, hey, you know, the Guardians are my family, we're all working together. And then this one here, you know, he had a genuine conversation with Thor, even gave him an eye, you know, he had his Rocket moments, but he wasn't the asshole that he was in the first one. And being a Rocket fan, I thought that, you know, seeing his character progress and then, you know, the way he interacted with Thor was probably one of my favorite moments of the film.
I totally agree with that. I have nothing else bad to say about the movie. So the Thor Rocket interaction, I thought, was maybe the highlight of the movie. It was really good to see that much emotional depth in Thor. I like this comedy Thor, but I like that he wasn't saying that much. He was kind of talking under his breath, and it was just in the eyes. And I thought that was a really, really good part.
I see Rob's point, though, about it being kind of not necessary to the overall story. And as he was saying, that kind of made me wonder if this is the big event crossover to, you know, to make the analogy. It's almost like they had to cram all the tie-ins into the actual event book, because the Thor building Stormbreaker is something that would happen in the Thor book if this were a comic.
Right. But at least this side mission, or, you know, side story, like you said, had a purpose. And then compared to, because when I watched that happen, it popped into my head about the Finn Rose Solo act bullshit in The Last Jedi, where they sent them off to Canto Bright to get the Codebreaker. And I was thinking, you know, that's a side story that just did not fucking work in a slowed down Star Wars, in my opinion. Compared to where Thor's side mission, he actually had a purpose to go and get the Stormbreaker for future use. So I thought it was a well use of another side story to keep the, you know, those three busy.
Absolutely, I'd agree with it. Because from when in the beginning, when Thor tells Thanos, "You will die for that," like, at that point, I was like, oh, he's gonna get the killing blow. So I thought it was a really well-done side story. And I think The Last Jedi is a perfect analogy to it, because that whole Rose Finn thing does slow down the movie horribly. I thought the Thor Rocket stuff was really good. I think it was a very important part of the movie, and I actually wouldn't take it out. I thought it was essential.
Right. And I guess I should. How about when they landed on Wakanda? And they're all just staring, you know, standing there, heroic poses and everything. And I think that was probably one of the coolest fucking moments in the film, is when they got there.
Right. And I guess I should clarify, I don't mean that I would cut it out of this movie as it exists. I mean, if they want to focus on Thanos more, because once again, to me, the movie is disjointed because they keep trying to focus on Thanos and then focus on the heroes. If I was focusing on Thanos more, I would cut it. But no, I agree. The Rocket scene with Thor, where they're kind of having a heart-to-heart for just a little bit, is, probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie on its own. So,
Dog, do you hate Rocket and Thor too?
No, I told you that was great. I told you that the scene with the Guardians was probably my favorite scene in the whole movie. So no, I'm very much on board with that.
And I thought they did the Guardians justice overall pretty well, except for that whole Peter Quill punch thing. Even, you know, Drax is sitting in the back of the ship eating, and he's like, I've been standing here for an hour now. They kept that dry wit with Drax even for, you know, the few moments he was on screen, and I was appreciative of that, too.
The humor, to me, was the highlight of the whole movie. And I've kind of... My position on humor in the Marvel movies has kind of evolved, because I hated The Dark World, the Thor movie, because I thought it was a drama that had slapsticky comedy that was out of place and just brought the whole thing down. Ragnarok I loved because it was an unabashed comedy. The humor in this, you wouldn't think there would be so much humor in such a dire movie. And it's not even like it's kind of out of place at times, but at the same time, I laughed at all the jokes. I enjoyed it, so it entertained me.
Yeah, the comedy hits really well. Like Drax, the problem, I'm a Guardians fan, but in Guardians 2, I think they went too much to that well with Drax. I kind of got annoyed with him, to be honest with you. I think they did a good job of kind of limiting his scenes in this so that they maximized them. And yeah, the invisible scene, very funny. The why is Gamora, very funny. But
I forgot about that. That was good. That was good.
Yeah, you have 10 or 15 more of those scenes, though, and it's just not as good.
A lot of kick out of when Thor and when they're all on Wakanda and Thor says, yes, I'm with what he called Rocket of Rabbit and Tree Man. And he goes, I am Groot. And Captain America, all serious, taps his chest and goes, and I am Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
That was good. That was really good.
It was all great. Yeah.
So, all right. So we've touched on a bunch of stuff that we've liked. We've probably gone about 30 minutes or so. Do we want to let Dog have his spotlight here and start the fire on what we didn't like, or anyone have any other positive thoughts before Dog crushes our memories forever?
I'm out now.
I just have one. We briefly mentioned Iron Man, and I thought he was going to die in this. And I don't like when people say that, well, he's not in any more movies, and especially they say the contract.
That drives me fucking insane, too.
Yeah, I thought Iron Man was going to die because of Robert Downey Jr.'s contract. But I do hate when that ruins the enjoyment. That being said, I was very surprised that he didn't die, and I came out of it hoping that him and Pepper Potts get married and he retires and goes on his own way. But not because I just don't want to see him anymore. Like, I want him to be happy. I thought they did a really good job of that.
Right. And that's the thing, and I'm going to mention this, because it's been said over the year that they've been, you know, hyping up Infinity War. It doesn't matter who signed whose contract. They could sign a contract tomorrow. The studios could be having them saying that shit just to get hype up for it. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So just because someone hasn't signed a contract, it's just like sports stars. You know, there's a soccer player that that's on my team right now, and he says he wants more than a year contract or he's not going to sign. He's going to sign this week, probably. I mean, that's just what they do. They hold out for stuff. Just because an actor says, you know, his contract's up doesn't mean a damn thing. Because you know what? If they pay him enough money, they're going to show up for Iron Man 6, 7, 8, 9, Captain America 25. I mean, that's bottom line.
Right. One last positive, and I just got to get this dig in. The Black Order, as underdeveloped as they are, still better villain than Steppenwolf in Justice League. So,
and you know, you're right, because that's what me and a buddy of my work was talking about today, is how Proxima and Midnight, she was cool, but not a whole lot became of any of them. But like you said, I didn't even think of it like that. As minor as they were better than fucking Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
What I mean with the movie that's already overstuffed. What I mean, I got a soft spot for the Black Order. I like villains in general. You know, I would obviously like to see more of them. But what could they have done? They couldn't have done any more. You know, they did what they could. And Maul was great. Ebony Maul was great. I don't know why he needs to have unlimited telekinesis when he already has all those other metal powers. But I mean, he was still cool.
And plus, you still have the whole second film. You don't know what's going to happen anyway.
True. True.
Just like Phasma. We've seen Phasma for two films now. She's done fuck all in both films. But hey, maybe in episode 9, she'll actually fucking do something. So, whatever. All right. So, because I know.
Because Dog's no pants, one demanded it.
Dog's Pants has been up in an uproar all day. He's been looking forward to recording tonight. So, go ahead, Dog. Tell us. Tell us your issues with the Great Infinity War.
All right, Dave. Well, first I'll tell you why you're wrong. The contracts do matter, and yeah, okay, not so much the way you presented it. Somebody who hasn't signed their contract yet. Fair enough. I can understand that point. But okay, first of all, the people who freaked out, other than children, I understand kids don't know what's going on with contracts and whatever. And Dave, I appreciate that your daughter, as you said, you know, she was sad at the end of the movie, as you would expect. But for everybody else, it's impossible to not know that there's another Spider-Man movie coming. Like, Sony loaned him to Marvel Studios. Oh, nope, gone. We wiped him away. He's gone now. Black Panther. Black Panther made so much money, I'm pretty sure Wakanda is the seventh largest economy in the world right now. And, oh no, he's gone now. $1 billion franchise to the win. Nope, we don't need that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They could have made better decisions on who died at the end. And why were people so dumbstruck by this? Like, even like guys like us, we know how the books go. How else could it have ended? We knew it was part one of two. If Thanos, the biggest, baddest motherfucker in the galaxy, doesn't beat the Avengers with the most powerful object in the entire universe, what threat is there ever to the Avengers ever again? There's no point in going to a movie again if Thanos doesn't win. Thanos had to win. Even if you don't know the comics, you had to know the all-powerful being would make good on his all-powerful promise. That's just the way I see it.
And I can agree with you to a point. Now, I knew some of the heroes would die, but I didn't think everybody that did die was going to die. Because it's still a Marvel movie. So, like I said, I figured they would sugarcoat the end a little bit more to this one, and they didn't do it at all. And I thought more of the chaos would happen in the second movie coming out.
Right. I could see that.
But even though you mentioned, and Spider-Man's the big one that stands out for me, yes, he did just get the rights back, and we know they're going to have to bring him back because of the sequel. But his death was probably one of the more effective ones in the film.
It was cliche to me. It was like, oh, Mr. Stark, I don't want to go. I was like, I know.
He didn't say that. He said, I don't feel good. And then he like...
That's even worse.
He's 16 years old, man. That's just like people used to jump on the young Jake Lloyd for being Anakin, talking about, oh, I'm pod racing. He's a fucking kid. What do you expect? He's 16 years old. He's still new with the Spider-Man thing. He even said that with Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our made-up names now. You know, he's still juvenile. He just fought Thanos, and he's in fucking space. He was trying to go to school on a goddamn school bus. You know, and the only person that he trusts is Tony Stark. So he feels terrible. He knows something's wrong, so who's he going to go to? And I thought that was a pretty good part for the character.
That also worked for me. Tom Holland, I don't know what it is about that kid, but he taps into my paternal instinct hard. Like, I was just like, save him.
Right. He's a great actor.
He's done a good job with the character in a short amount of time. Maybe it was a little heavy-handed, but I thought I enjoyed it. It hurt. It was very effectively done. Going back to what Dog was saying about Thanos had to win, it had to end like that. I thought the movie would end with him snapping his fingers. So actually seeing heroes and then the heroes that they show go away, die, I thought it was effective. Like, yeah, they're going to come back. I know they're going to be back, but they showed the gravity of the situation. Like you said, it's the most powerful being in the world with the most powerful object in the universe. Of course, they're going to take their lumps and then they're going to come back. But no, they don't come back. He wipes them out. And that'll make the next movie that much more satisfying.
Right. And just like Dog mentioned, my daughter was sad. And for whoever's listening, no, you didn't miss a part of the podcast. There was talk that we had before the show. And my daughter's 9. And I told her going in, I'm like, look, you know, there's going to be some heroes that die. And her favorites are also the Guardians. Well, never in a million years did I really think they're going to kill Gamora off. So, sure enough, he throws her over the fucking cliff, and I look over, and my daughter already has tears in her ass, and I'm like, fuck, now I gotta deal with this, you know? So, I'm holding her hand, and at this point, whenever Thanos shows up on the screen, I could feel her hand trembling. She did not like Thanos at all. And she knows it's a movie, and I explained to her, you know, Guardians 3's coming, you know, Gamora's, if anything happens, you know, the main guys are probably going to be fine. And everything was okay. As everyone started to die, she was sort of like, she looked uneasy, but then it got to Groot, and he started, you know, evaporating. And I was like, fuck, I gotta watch this cat die on screen for the second time with my daughter beside me. And I looked over at her again, and that did it. She took that worse than she did Gamora. So, and then at the end credits, it says, you know, Thanos will return. And She looked over at me. She goes, I don't think I'm coming for the second film if he's going to be back. So then that led to a talk in the car, you know, that it's going to be back. You know, they have to defeat him. You know, part yes. two is going to be a lot more, you know, somber because everybody's gone. But I told her, I'm like, you know, Guardians is the year after that. You know, Groot's going to come back. Plus, he was part of the axe handle. So right there, he can grow from that yeah. if that's the route that they go. I'm like, do you really think, you know, Gamora's, they'll find a way to bring Gamora back? You can't have a Guardians 3 without Gamora, who is at times, you know, the voice of reason. You can't do it. So
I do want to talk about future, but one more rant I have is, speaking of Peter Quill and his awful decisions, is everyone else's awful decisions too. From the jump, Scarlet Witch, I understand. Maybe I'm just heartless. I don't know. Maybe I'm jaded. But I mean, okay, so she knows this awful thing. The universe is going to be destroyed if, you know, if Thanos comes and takes the mind gem from Vision. She seems like a reasonable person to me. I mean, I understand it's tough. But one person versus the entirety of the universe. And what's even worse than that is that they took him to Wakanda, because Cap says, what does Cap say? He says, we don't trade lives. No, we're going to save you. So they take him to Wakanda, and while they're working on him, how many friggin' Wakandans die defending this white-ass robot man as alien monsters are pouring into the country that was isolationist until yesterday? And this is probably why. And then so they're just going to sack. We don't trade lives, but all these Africans, no, that's okay.
Well, going off of Wakanda, the city doesn't take a hit. Because that was something I was, as a Black Panther fan, like nervous about. I'm like, am I going to have to watch Wakanda in its glory in February and Wakanda get destroyed in April? And the city and the civilians don't get hit. Like,
there were people on the front lines. Not all of them could have survived, and they couldn't have known that they were going to survive.
Oh, no, and the military, but it's the military. And Wakanda opened its doors up to the world. That's their king's choice. And I do think that puts it in a great position for additional drama, because M'Baku is an isolationist character. And now there's no king. So, and I don't think we know the status of Shuri, if I remember correctly, there. So we don't know what the political status is going to be. I actually thought that was pretty an ingenious way to kind of go into like something where you're kind of adapting one of the plots where now T'Challa's got to deal with the fact that his whole country disagreed with a decision that he made. So I think that.
But you make a great point about M'Baku. Why is he there? Well, what skin does he have in the game? Well, what does he care if Robot Man dies?
I think it's more of a matter of Wakanda recognizes that if this happens, we're all dead anyway. Because, I mean, right. Once again, the film's pacing is weird because they don't really have any scenes explaining it. But, I mean, but M'Baku...
The issue was we have to stall... So Shuri can do the neurological connections because we don't want to kill Vision. Who cares? Kill Vision. Rip the stone out. Take it away. Scarlet Witch. Boom. Blows it up. Screw Robot Man. Why are all my people dying on the front line stalling?
Okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's fair. So.
Well, I think, and they do this throughout the movie, because I thought the same thing as Robert, that in February I saw Wakanda and it was awesome. Coming out of Avengers, I thought it might be the better of the two movies. I still think it might have been the better of the two movies, but I didn't want to see it get leveled a few months later. But I think what we saw was a choice from, and shame on everybody who hasn't read Dog's article, because I read it, and as wrong as it is very interesting.
I'll give you that, Dog. I read it, and I shared it with a couple of my closer friends. I won't share their comments. But I do respect your article. I don't completely agree with it, of course, but...
Well, it wasn't coherent. I made no effort to edit the damn thing. This was rant and publish.
Fueled by alcohol.
Doug, here's a question. Do they know that they can destroy it? Like, well,
the idea was that Scarlet Witch would destroy it. They thought she could. I guess they didn't know for sure, but that was the plan, that they were going to pull it off his head once he had his neurons connected or whatever, and then she would try to destroy it.
I mean, I think the reason – I mean, I get what you're saying, but I don't – I'm trying to remember when they thought – because I thought that they went to Wakanda to have it removed, and maybe I'm just remembering wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
But I didn't think that they thought that they could destroy it until Vision says that to Wanda later. But I could be forgetting something in the middle.
Yeah, no, I think it was pretty early on.
Okay. Yeah, they went to Wakanda to have it removed, and that's when Shuri asked them why they built it in such a primitive way, kind of. Yeah. But then the plan is to remove it, and then for Wanda to destroy it.
Okay.
But going back, I think it's all about sacrifice, basically, that the king of Wakanda was – he. Of course, he doesn't want to see his people die. But for the greater good, he was going to buy that time, basically, for the robot man so they could destroy the gem.
I'll tell you what. And this is my bias showing through. What would have worked better for me was if Shuri looked at Vision and instead of being, you know, glib about it, saying, oh, my God, look at this amazing thing that's never existed before. We have this sentient emotional being in this robot body, and we don't know why he is or how he is. Yes, we have to protect this so we can study it. That I would have understood a little more.
I actually, you know what? I hadn't thought about that, but that would have made it a lot better.
Yeah.
So I'm a sucker for good cliffhangers, and I thought the ending scene to what exactly Thanos described his perfect into all this actually happened. You know, he sat down, the sun came up, and that was it. We got credits. And going into the film, that was one of my biggest wonders, is how are they going to end this? You know, is it going to be a really good cliffhanger? Is it going to be something fucking terrible? I like the way that it ended. Do you all agree?
I thought it was going to end in one of two ways. Either he would find half of the gems, and then the second part of Infinity War would be him looking for the rest of them, but they would prevent him from finding them all. Or I thought the movie with him snapping his fingers, and then the credits would roll. The first time I saw it, I was very shocked with the ending, and I actually told my friend that these two movies are very dissimilar, but it reminded me of the end of Requiem with a Dream, where there's nothing good about it at all. Like, I just felt like shit at the end of the movie. And this movie kind of made me feel like that, too. The second time I saw it, it was a little more sad, a lot more sad. But the first time, I was very shocked, but I liked how it ended. I just don't think I've ever seen such a gloomy ending in a superhero movie before.
Rob, what'd you think of the ending?
I also liked it. For all the talk about how dark and heavy the DC universe is supposed to be, and that's why critics or whoever don't like it, like, this was way darker than I think anything that we've, as Nate said, we've seen in a superhero movie. I was really happy that we did get to see the aftermath in terms of the heroes, you know, disappearing, because I was worried that if he just snapped and the movie ended, people would be pissed off. Because, like, obviously for all of us and anyone who's probably listening to this, we knew that, yeah, Avengers 4 is next year. But my curiosity was going to be, how do the general audiences, the random moviegoers who don't know that, how would they feel if the movie had just ended on the snap? So I'm glad we got to see a little bit of a denouement there, especially for Thanos at the end.
It would have been like watching The Sopranos all over again, the finale. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Russ, did you at least like the ending scene?
It just seemed really predictable to me. Here's the thing. I agree with Nate on both counts of what he said, actually, that I could see going into the movie, since Marvel was very careful to never show him, Thanos, in the promotional material with anything more than two gems. He only ever had the two gems on the gauntlet in all the commercials and all the promos and everything. So that kind of makes you think that, like Nate said, he's going to be assembling them throughout the rest of the movie, and then maybe something happens in the next movie. But you know, once it got going at a good clip and it was clear that he was going to get them all, you know, it could only end one way. And at that point, it was either, like Nate said, it was either it end on the snap and go to black, or we'd get what we got. And the thing about the – okay, here's the dual nature of the deaths. Obviously, Black Panther dying, Spider-Man dying, that's garbage to me because – studio should not. It works for kids, and I don't think any adults are unaware. I don't think anybody going to this movie opening weekend is unaware that Avengers 4 is coming next year. Any adults, and I think it's silly for the studio to expect people to not be aware of their own activities and to react as if they weren't. But if it proves, which it probably does. If I can see through my seething anger, if it proves that these decisions were made for specific reasons so that we get to see Iron Man mourn. I mean, Iron Man is just going to be a wreck in the next movie. I can't even – this was his greatest fear. This is why he built Ultron, was to prevent this sort of thing, and he's failed. They've all ultimately failed. Everything they've ever accomplished, all the little wins they've gotten over the last – 10 years meant absolutely nothing at the end of the day. So I think while this movie sticks in my craw, Avengers 4 has the potential to be amazing for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say totally. The next Avengers movie can be the like seminal Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. The only fear I have is that everything gets tied up really nicely in a little bow by Captain Marvel, but all the pieces are there for them to just knock it out of the park, more so than they've ever done.
Right. So since we're already bringing up Avengers 4, well, let's discuss what we think we will see and who do we think will permanently die, who's going to come back, and I don't know. Will it be as good as the first one? Because I'm sorry, you know, I know how Russ feels about it, but I was really impressed with this film, and I don't see how Part 4 is going to be able to trump this first part. Especially because one of the things Nate said, they're going to try and end up tying it all in a nice bow. I mean, there has to be casualties somewhere. There has to be some people that don't come back.
Certainly. Like,
Loki for sure is gone. I don't think we'll see Loki again. I do still think either Captain America, and now after seeing Part 1, Iron Man. I think one of those two is going to get it.
And I think that's why the characters who die from the snap are those characters.
Yeah.
Because it's all the new franchise characters die from the snap. You lose Doctor Strange, you lose Spider-Man, you lose Black Panther, because we know they're going to come back. Whereas if you lose Iron Man or Cap due to the snap, then when they come back, you're probably not going to have A, the time, or B, you won't be able to build up an emotional gut punch like you would where now we have. For Avengers 4, it's what? The original six Avengers plus War Machine and Rocket and Nebula are now the people who have to go try to solve this problem. And Wong, who's just hanging out at the Sanctum Sanctorum right now.
That's really interesting when you think about it, yeah.
So, they're going to have to save the day, which means, especially because, you know, we were talking about contracts earlier, but the original six, you know, their contracts are supposedly up in the air there. So this could be their last film. So now you have this buildup where Avengers 4, okay, any of these characters could go and we could not get them back. Whereas with the snap characters, I mean, where you're getting them back, and I think you're expecting to get them back anyway, just because they're not going to end Avengers 4 with half the people on the planet gone and disappeared. So.
Right. So yeah. Who else? I mean, I think Gamora's going to come back. I mean, she has to come back.
If we're doing crazy fan theories, I think Dave Brook, the man about town at AIPT, I think he had a great idea that what if you know, the person who's killed to obtain the soul gem is then transported into the soul gem. We know in the comics there's Soul World, so maybe Gamora is trapped inside of Soul World right now.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And my supposition following that is that maybe, you know, maybe they reconstruct the gauntlet or do something or use the time gem or whatever, and they can, it's like a Dragon Ball thing where like they can bring back everyone killed by the gauntlet, but not anyone else. So maybe the soul gem, Soul World is their way out with Gamora. But like Dave said, maybe Loki stays dead. Vision stays dead.
Oh yeah. I definitely don't think those two are going to come back at all.
Vision is too powerful. Honestly, I think he's a problem in the movies. It's like Vision should be their heavy hitter. He can do anything.
My question with Gamora is, Zoe Saldana is supposed to be in these Avatar sequels, isn't she? So my thought was, my whole thing prior to the movie was I was sure that Star-Lord was going to be the gut punch death that no one saw coming. But then when it was Gamora, it clicked in my head. I'm like, I think she's busy.
Yeah.
And
ain't nobody want to watch those fucking movies.
Yeah, but they're making them.
They can CGI her just like they do with every other thing in that fucking movie. God damn, I don't need two more Avatar movies. I really don't.
I don't need one more Avatar movie, but James Cameron keeps talking about giving us four more, and I'm like, die before it comes out, please.
Yeah, it's like, haven't you all had enough Avengers movies? Well, look at the box office. Think about it. Apparently not.
Yeah.
The thing about Gamora, and thank you for bringing that up, Rod. Rob, I completely didn't even think about the Avatar movies. I did say, is Zoe just sick of it? Is that what, could that be it? But the problem is that the optics are really bad, because we remember when the first Guardians movie came out, there was no merchandising for Gamora, and everybody complained about it. There was a hashtag on Twitter, where's Gamora? Because all the male characters had merchandise, and there was nothing for Gamora, and now you're just going to fridge her? It seems like Marvel Studios or comics don't really need bad PR at this point. But, you know, I guess there's Nebula. I guess maybe they shunt Valkyrie in the Guardians, maybe. But at the same time, you know, women aren't exchangeable commodities.
And then they have Captain Marvel coming, who theoretically will be the most powerful character in the universe.
Now, see, isn't that supposed to run... The film is supposed to, I was just seeing something, it's supposed to be like a 90s setting, correct? Because right. Like Nick Fury now has two eyes and everything, and some of the screenshots that are coming out.
Right.
Right.
She'll come in guns blazing. She's the cavalry. Oh, well, yeah. Vengeance Corps.
But after you bring them up, what we got next? Ant-Man and Wasp, right? So right. I'm thinking that this is going to run parallel to the Infinity War, and maybe the after credit scene will be one of them like drifting off into dust like it happened in Infinity War.
Well, they've said it's gonna be after the events of a Civil War, but I think up until a point it's gonna cover that much time, and then it will run parallel to Infinity War.
Well, we are coming up on an hour. Do y'all have any other thoughts, questions, any other discussions? Dog, you want to lay into some more things? What you got going on there?
Oh, no, I've monopolized enough time. I'll spare you any.
Spare us any?
should we rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, yeah, we could do that. And then if you have an idea of where it ranks in the Marvel Universe for you, let's talk about that, too. Go ahead, Nate, if you want to start. You brought it up.
I have it at an 8 in the overall universe. Ooh. Okay, I like Civil War better. Black Panther was my second favorite one. It's either 2 or 3 between those two. I've only seen Black Panther once, so I'd have to see Black Panther again to really compare them. So it's third at worst.
All right. Rob, what do you think?
I'd probably right now say 7 out of 10 for the rating. It might go up or down depending on how I feel after a second viewing. Ranking wise, it's I think also 7 because Black Panther is my favorite. Civil War, Winter Soldier, both Guardians movies, and Thor Ragnarok. What does that make it? 7. And two things that I was salty about are the fact that it cut away right at the start of the Black Panther Black Dwarf fight. Like, Black Panther punches him in the face and it cuts away, and I'm like, you bastards copied that Hickman cutaway that I hate. And then we still have not heard Avengers Assemble in the movie. And if I don't hear it in Avengers 4, someone's getting murdered.
Let's see. As for me, like I said, it ranked much higher than I thought it would. And I had just to reflect back on my younger self. And like, the 13-year-old me would have went fucking ballistic for this film. So I think I can easily give it a 9. I have to see it a second time for me to give it a true ranking, but if I have to answer that right now, it's definitely in my top 3. But like Nate said, by the time the film was over with, I was more shocked at everything that happened. I didn't have time for other than Gamora, because, you know, she was one of the earlier deaths, but for everything just to set in. So I definitely want to see it again a second time, just to see, now that I know everything that's going to happen, you know, it's no more surprise. I can just let it all soak in a little bit more. And you mentioned, I guess we're going back to things we didn't like. What's the guy, because I don't watch this show, Game of Thrones.
Was Peter Dinklage.
Yes. His character, even though they tried to make him look bigger or, you know, different perception of him, he still looked, the way they did the background or his body image, or they did something, he didn't look, you know, bigger in some of those scenes. It just, I don't know, the perspective in some of the scenes with him really threw me off with him, and it was noticeable, but I don't know, I'm nitpicky at this point. Dog, last but not least.
Well, first of all, I think you're right. I think there were CGI issues in several parts of the movie, specifically in the opening. It looked pretty unfinished to me. But I'm going to do, unlike Avengers Infinity War, I'm going to do what's unexpected and tell you that, rather than outright panning it, I'm going to say I cannot give a fair appraisal right now, because I am seething and simmering too much. I'm too angry about the marketing. I'm too angry about being told you won't expect what's coming and yet expecting exactly what happened. So I will say this. I, again, like saying the potential for Avengers 4, I would say if this were one giant 5-hour monster, the two movies, like, all right, you go see part one, you go have a beer, come back and see the rest of it, I think that would satisfy me. This as a film unto itself, yeah, like I said, too jumbled, too hard to swallow, while at the same time being completely predictable.
And you've seen it once, correct? Did you haven't gone to see it a second time, have you?
I've seen it once.
All right, would you be willing to entertain the idea of seeing it a second time to see if maybe your opinion changed?
Are you buying me a ticket, Dave?
I will PayPal you $10 if I have to go take another.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to the movies without my woman. And then there's popcorn and soda and Junior Mints.
I'm not the one sleeping with you here, pal. The rest of that's your deal. You can go by yourself at a fucking matinee just as easy as any of the three of us. So
no deal.
Well. Movie pass it.
So, all right. Well, any other final thoughts?
I'm just glad to hear that I'm not the only one who doesn't watch Game of Thrones, because I feel really lonely sometimes.
I watched the first 4 episodes of that show and I'm like, I don't get this. I, you know, whoever loves it, you know, more power to you. You know, there's shit that I like that people look at me like I'm crazy. But yeah, Game of Thrones is just something I could never get into. So, but all right, so next week, I believe Jason will be back from Mexico, unless, you know, they build the wall before then, he can't get back. I want to thank my wonderful crew that was with me tonight. Thank you, Rob. I think you were on last week, too, weren't you?
Yep.
In fact, Nate, you were on last week, yeah?
No, it's been like 2 or 3 weeks. Okay. But before that, I was on for like 6 months.
Yeah, I was saying Nate was like almost the third host of the show there for a while, so I get confused what episodes he has been, hasn't been on. So, but it's always great to have everybody on here. And Dog, thank you for coming on. You were in the tough position of disagreeing, but you know you had good thoughts. I respect your opinion, but I like the film. What can I say? You know, so I guess
don't patronize Infinity War. Brand.
Infinity War is your Rogue One for the Marvel Universe.
It's entirely possible that upon further reflection, I will lessen my harsh stance. But as it stands, I did not care for it.
All right. Well, I've got $10 when you're ready to go take another look at it for you. So I want to thank everybody for listening, hanging out with us, and we will be back next week. And thank you guys, and good night, Japan.
Good night.